In your face.
Well, extraordinary production first trimester will be happening at Melbourne Fringe in October. On the line, we have Simon Abrahams, who is Fringe's creative director. Simon, welcome to 3CR.
Thank you so much.
This is an extraordinary production. You're looking for sperm donors. What can you tell us? I thought about, you know, what will I ask Simon? And then I thought, let's just hear it in their own words about this amazing production.
It's pretty wild. So, essentially, it's this incredible artist, Krishna Ista, who's based out of London. People might know Krishna because they've done a lot of TV and Netflix and stuff. We were actually talking about a year ago in Edinburgh, the incredible Edinburgh Festival, and I heard about this work, First Trimester, and Krishna is looking for a sperm donor to start a family, a queer family-making project. And essentially they're on a global search to find, you know, the donor to create their child. But it's also, you know, it's theatre. So, you know, as much as it is looking for sperm donors, it's equally simply looking for people who want to spread the word about queer family making and want to participate in an art project. I mean, if people want to donate their sperm, that's fantastic, but you don't have to go all the way to be part of the project.
So there was no, like, big ethical debate at Melbourne Fringe about it. It was like, we're going to go for this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, for us, there's no question that queer people, you know, are making families, should be making families. How can we support and amplify that work? And what this project is it's a series of conversations. So we're asking for people to sign up to have a conversation with Krishna on stage about the things that matter, because when you're looking for a sperm donor, the information you might often receive might be education and colour of your eyes, but maybe how tall you are and where you went to school aren't actually the things that matter. It kind of asks those questions and, you know, whether or not a baby gets made at the end of it. I mean, you know, none of it's happening on stage. You know, what's happening on stage is really a series of conversations about what are the things that matter and about human connection.
Wow. Okay. So people who may or may not be interested in being the sperm donor kind of get up on stage with the artist and have that conversation, and people are actually listening and watching it and seeing the dynamic between these two people. That sounds amazing.
That's it. And you know, sort of understanding, you know, the idea, I guess, is to get an insight to what it might be for, you know, a queer person thinking, how do I choose a donor who's going to make up 50% of my child's genetic makeup for all time when I don't know any of these people? What if I could meet them rather than pick someone, you know, off an internet search? What if I met them? And if I met them, what questions would I ask? And how would I make sure that we share the same values? So that's exactly it. You know, no one's, you know, donating sperm on stage. What they're doing is having a conversation about, you know, whether that's something they may or may not want to do, but it's the conversation that is the bit that happens on stage. And then for us as audience members, we just watch interview after interview after interview and get a sense of, you know, what's happening and why people might choose to be donors, and get an insight into people's motivations and values as well.
So there's some really amazing conversations that are going to happen. You aren't necessarily sure, you know, even the artist Krishna may not be sure what's actually going to come out. It could get really unhinged, couldn't it? It could get really deep. It could be traumatic. It's really kind of random, isn't it? Which is kind of in some ways what human life can be about.
That's exactly it. And you know, what we're making is a theatre show, you know, and yes, it's got reality in it. Like, yes, it's true that Krishna is actually looking for a sperm donor. You know, there are stakes in this show, and the stakes are high. But I mean, what we're doing is making something for an audience to come and watch as well, you know. So, I mean, it will be an entertaining and fun thing to be part of.
So it really is like reality theatre, you know. It's like reality TV.
That's exactly what it is. It's reality theatre. I love that term. I'm going to use that.
It sounds extraordinary. Did you have any reservations?
Look, my short answer is no. I instantly fell in love with the project and thought, you know, what a challenging time it has been for many people in the queer community. And as our community, as the culture in some ways is becoming more and more divided, we need to support and amplify these kind of celebratory projects. And it really is a very fun celebration, this project, you know, to kind of go making families for queer people is something that we need to support and celebrate and do that, you know, through the power of art, as always, you know, and to give everyday people a chance to, you know, stand up and support as well, you know, by signing up to be a participant, to get on stage, to have an interview and, you know, who knows, maybe even donate their sperm. But, you know, as I say, even if people aren't interested in that bit, we still encourage them to sign up to be interviewed and to be part of the project.
I love the Rainbow Families aspect of all of this. This sounds like it's got a real activist bent, certainly a political one.
It definitely does, but it does it in a really joyous way. And I think for me, that's part of what I like about the work is that it's fun and it's a celebration. And, you know, I think often when you think about, you know, what it is for many trans people at this moment in time, you know, when the media, right-wing media is, you know, social media is often bringing up so much hate, to create a space that is just full of love and happiness and joy and fun. But, you know, around serious business, I mean, you know, family making should be fun, right? You know, straight people get to have fun when they make their babies. So, you know, why not the same for trans people as well?
I'm fascinated by the 8-hour performance that's happening at one of the shows on October 18. What can you tell us about it?
That's right. So it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a durational performance where people, you can come, you can stay for the whole 8 hours if you like, or you can just come for part of it. But it's a durational work to just see people interviewed one after another, after another, after another, after another, and see how they compare and contrast and think, if I was Krishna right now, if I was picking a sperm donor, who would I choose? You can sit there for 8 hours and listen to them and watch them one by one.
You know,
or you can come and go if you like, you know, just stay for a little bit.
You almost like need to have an audience vote on this.
Yes, I mean, you know, imagine if that was part of it, if it really was reality television and the audience got to choose. So now Krishna will get to choose in the end, and their partner Logan, together they will get to choose who will be the sperm donor. But absolutely, an audience vote would be fun, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you are the creative director, Simon Abrahams, for Melbourne Fringe. How is this Fringe going to be different to previous ones?
Look, this feels like a really big and exciting and ambitious festival. The program's announced on the 22nd of August. And what we'll be announcing then, you know, are some really big public artworks. One of the things that really is new this year is a major international program. So you can see that with Krishna, but there's other works as well that some really established and amazing artists from overseas that are coming to be part of this year's Fringe. So I can't wait to share all of that on the 22nd of August when the full program's announced and all the tickets go on sale.
So tell us a bit more about the mindset for this international focus. Like, what led Fringe down that path? Is it that the festival has been thriving in recent years and it has been exposed to an international audience more? Like, how did you get to that point?
Yeah, I think a number of things. I think, you know, for artists, for local artists, I think it's really important to have new ideas, new inspirations, and new points of aspiration, and to really think about, you know, what else is out there and that will drive and shape your art making and make sure that you're making incredible new work. So I really feel it's important that a festival brings international artists. And for myself, you know, I work here in Melbourne, but I work overseas as well, and I travel and I see work, and, you know, I want to make sure that our local audiences get a chance to see, you know, the best work that's happening all over the world. So, you know, it just enriches our culture, and I believe in that two-way exchange. You know, the more we can support local artists but also bring in amazing artists from overseas, it just all fuels itself and creates the most vibrant and dynamic artistic scene.
It feels like Fringe has got queerer over the last few years. You're the creative director. It's obviously something that you've had a lot to do with, but what's your perspective on Fringe getting queerer?
Look, I think that's probably true. I mean, you know, Fringe has become quite deliberately more and more inclusive. So it's absolutely become queerer, but I would say it's also become more black and more brown. You know, we've done a lot of more disabled. We've done a lot of work to bring in, I guess, some of those marginalised voices that may not have otherwise been heard. And so we've done a lot of work to go, let's work with our trans community. Let's work with the queer community. Let's work with First Nations community and deaf artists and disabled artists. And we really want to amplify those voices. So I think it's probably true it has become queerer. But I think it's also just become more inclusive and more diverse. And to be honest, I think it's become more representative of the people of the city. So it's not that all of those amazing artists weren't already here. It's just that I think, you know, they weren't getting the platform, and we've really worked hard to make sure that we're amplifying all of those voices.
And I guess as the festival gets more renowned and gets bigger and kind of, you know, attracts that broader audience, you know, you really have to kind of, you know, make it more fringy, don't you? And I guess being more inclusive is part of that. But you must be really conscious of not wanting it to be a really commercial mainstream festival that kind of is no longer on the fringe.
That's exactly it. And I think when I look to, you know, some other fringe festivals in other cities, you know, they're de facto comedy festivals, or they're very commercial. They present just big cabaret shows and comedy shows, and you know, people love them and they have a great time. But I'm really deliberate and conscious in saying that's not the vision for this festival. Not to say that it doesn't have great things to see, but this is a place for risk-taking. And so, you know, that's for audiences as well as artists. We want to push risk-taking and really create a space where people are forging new pathways and making new things. So, you know, its purpose is not to you know, just, you know, create a kind of platform for commercial work. There's other platforms for that. It's really a place for amazing art making. But there's plenty of audience-friendly stuff, you know, to see as well. There's 500 shows. I mean, there's literally something for everybody.
Well, first trimester, it's happening October 16 to 18 with the amazing Krishna Istha. You are looking for people to have those conversations with them about being a sperm donor. And I guess you're probably wanting people to put their hands up now so you can kind of, you know, get the train in motion for all of that to happen, which is why you're promoting this before the Fringe program's announced later in August.
That's exactly it. There is no show unless people sign up to have a conversation live on stage. So we are asking people, you know, to do that right now, to head to melbournefringe.com.au and to sign up to have a conversation with Krishna. You know, whether or not, you know, people want to actually be a sperm donor, if you do, that's great. If not, you know, to come and have a conversation, anyone can. Have a conversation with Krishna about, you know, what it means, what your values are, you know, and kind of this is a great way to show support, you know, for queer family making and to just be part of an awesome and fun project.
Fantastic. Well, first trimester, as I said, happening October 16 to 18. It's happening at Arts Hub in North Melbourne. And if people are interested in being one of those people who has the conversation about being a sperm donor, as you said, they can go to the Fringe website.
That's absolutely right. And if people are interested in buying tickets, they're not on sale yet, but you can head also to the Melbourne Fringe website and you can sign up and we'll email you when the tickets go on sale. So you'll be first in line there as well. So whether you want to buy a ticket, whether you want to be part of the project, melbournefringe.com.au and you can sign up right now.
Simon Abrahams, the Fringe Creative Director, thanks so much for talking to us today on 3CR.
As always, my pleasure.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.